525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn. Weekdays from 12:30 to 2 on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn. 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey.
Good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on the Tuesday edition of It's Your Turn. Open talk to begin the program today. What a spectacular day. Wow. It is just absolutely cool. It's hard to imagine a nicer day in, you know, what's still the middle of April. I mean, this is the 18th. We are just barely past the halfway point of April. It is really nice. And it's been nice from the get-go. Blue sky, sunshine, brilliant this morning. Brilliant right now. Temperature is already up into the mid-60s. They were predicting 70, and well, you know, 12:30, we're getting close to that already. Just nice. Enjoy. Enjoy. Open talk on the first portion of the program. We will have guests later. We're expecting guests from the cast of the upcoming Pioneer Players production at Butler County Community College. The Pioneer Players, a student theater group, lesbian group at BC3. And I believe the name of the play that they're doing is Barely Heirs. And I'm not familiar with the show, so I'll be anxious to find out about it. Mike Beck is directing. He'll be here, and some of the cast members as well, a little bit later on the program today. But open talk to begin with. I have been debating, in my own mind, this whole situation with the guy that got dragged off the United Airlines flight a week or so ago, that's just, you know, gone viral all over the world, does that matter? It's been a story in newspapers in Europe. I haven't checked any newspapers in any other countries because I don't speak any other languages. But in European papers, I've seen it. It's a big story. In fact, United Airlines has even been the butt of jokes. You know, there are jokes circulating on the internet and here and there about United Airlines. I've gone back and forth a couple of times on the issue. If you're talking about the whole issue of overbooking flights, I can understand where that's a little shaky. I'm not real keen on that. I know why airlines do it. They do it because they want to maximize their profits for their shareholders. Because they know, on average, down through the years, they keep statistics, obviously, that X percentage of people, year in, year out, every flight, don't show up. Now, it's not a very large percentage, obviously. Now, most people that have paid for a ticket, you know, are going to be there. But there's a small percentage that fail to show. And rather than fly with empty seats, still costs the same amount in terms of jet fuel and cabin crew and pilots and everything, they overbook flights. All airlines do it. They do it routinely. I'm not sure about the low-cost airlines because some of them don't have reserved seats, right? Southwest, I've never flown on Southwest, but I don't think they have reserved seats. I could be wrong. Some of the other low-fare airlines, Frontier is one, very popular. Maybe they don't overbook. But any airlines that have reserved seats, they overbook. They book more passengers than they can fly if everybody shows up. So what do? When they realize that everybody's there and there are not enough seats, then they'll start asking people at the gate, for a free ticket, would you take a later flight? You know, we'll cancel this ticket. We'll give you a free one for a later flight. Would you be willing to do that? Or they offer a money incentive, you know. $500, will you give up your seat on this flight and take a later one? And a lot of people do. If you're not pressed for time and can use the money, why not? In this case, this physician was already on the plane. It was not a boarding gate situation. He was already seated. And the United people came on and said, well, we're overbooked and, you know, you have to leave. We'll give you, I don't know what they offered the guy. He said, no, I'm not going. They offered him a little more and I'm not going. He refused to leave his seat. And they brought in the heavy lifters and forcibly dragged the guy out. Now, in today's day and age, this would have been an interesting story a few years ago. But today, of course, most people on a plane have a video recording device. They've got a smartphone. And several people started recording this. And, you know, the guy was pretty banged up. I mean, they dragged him out. His glasses were broken. He claims, his lawyer claims, that he lost a couple of teeth. I could see on the video that I saw, I watched a couple of seconds of it, it looked like he had a bloody nose or something. But anyway, they dragged him off. Now he's preparing to sue. I don't think he's actually filed a lawsuit yet, but he's done the preliminary work, his lawyers have. He claimed that, he said, I'm a physician and I have to see patients tomorrow. I can't give up my seat. Well, as I said, I've gone back and forth on this. I saw a report on The Wire a couple of days later that this guy, in fact, was a physician, but he had lost his license for prescribing prescription drugs. I don't know whether they were opioids, but he got into some entanglement with prescribing or over-prescribing prescription meds. And he lost his license to practice. He was only allowed to work in one particular clinic somewhere. He'd lost his general license. Now, is that relevant? For when I heard that, first of all, I said, well, the guy was lying. You know, I'm a doctor. I have to see my patients tomorrow. Really? But then I read another piece where somebody said, is it relevant that he, you know, had been in trouble for prescribing prescription drugs in the past? Is that relevant to the fact that he was pulled off the plane? Maybe not. I don't know. Now, if you're talking about the rules and regulations of air travel, you know, I realize I'm in a great minority here. I don't have a lot of sympathy for the guy. When you're flying, you have to do what they tell you to do. If it's a TSA agent, and you're, you know, going through the boarding process at the security line, and they say, take off your belt but keep on your shoes, then you take off your belt and keep your shoes on. If they say, take your shoes off and take your belt off and leave your shoes, you do what they say. And there's no lip, there's no funny jokes. You don't say anything. You just listen to what these people say. Now, I've never had any trouble. There was one time when I had to tick off a lot of stuff, including my belt, trying to hold a lot of stuff in my hands, and at the same time it was a little frustrating, but that's the most trouble I've ever had. And it was in preparation for a transatlantic flight, and I, you know, they want to do all the screening they can, that's fine with me. Go ahead, screen everybody. That's fine. But it's just not something that you do. You don't, and with the airline personnel, you don't give them lip. You know, same as police officers. You do what they say. You know, I've gone down that trail. I've gone down the trail as this guy, you know, really a full practicing physician, and I've gone down the trail of the whole concept of overbooking. That's probably where I have the most trouble. This whole practice of overbooking. I mean, if you pay for an airline ticket, and they're not cheap these days, by the way. They are not cheap, especially on the full-service airlines, of which United is one. If you've already paid for a ticket, maybe you paid for it certainly weeks in advance, maybe months in advance, who knows? A lot of people plan trips months in advance. You've paid for the ticket. You've mostly paid for it with a credit card. You've already paid the credit card bill. That's long gone. And then suddenly, the airline says, well, I'm sorry, but you can't go on this flight. Well, I don't know. I have a problem with that. If they have X number of people who don't show up, that's tough bananas. That's, you know, that's like if you're a fruit seller and X percentage of your fruit goes bad before you sell it. That's the price of business. I don't cotton to the idea of telling people they can't fly. Now, if you ask them if they will willingly agree and give them a lot of money, I guess now airlines are being prepared to cough over huge amounts to people. I heard one at $10,000. Well, you know, if they offer me $10,000 to, first of all, that tells you they're making a lot of money these days, and they are. And secondly, I'd probably take that, you know, unless it was some sort of incredible emergency that I had to get somewhere. This guy was going from where? Chicago to Louisville. He could have driven overnight if it was that big of an emergency. Not that far. I don't know. I don't know where I stand. United, of course, is taking heat for it. I don't know whether there are people boycotting United. I tend to doubt that. First of all, in today's day and age, you don't have a lot of choice sometimes. You know, if you're flying, let's say, from Pittsburgh, first of all, it's nearly impossible to fly to a lot of places nonstop from Pittsburgh. Sometimes you can't even fly to Florida nonstop. And in most cases, you can't fly to the West Coast nonstop. You have to stop somewhere. Detroit, Chicago, change plane. So not a whole lot of choice these days. Even if you're flying to big, like from Pittsburgh to New York, Pittsburgh to Boston, certainly Pittsburgh to Philadelphia, there used to be many, many flights from which to choose. Practically every hour. Not anymore. It's very limited, and very limited airline service. So, you know, you talk about boycotting United. If you had a choice, I'm not sure for a lot of people, depending on where they were going, that they'd have a choice. It's United or stop four different times and change planes. 283-2525 is the number. 283-2525. Open talk here on the It's Your Turn program on a gorgeous, spectacular Tuesday. Have you noticed how the trees have popped out in just the past couple of days? Now, we've seen evidence, of course, of Mother Nature greening up for a few weeks now, actually. First started to see a little green along the roadsides, and here and there, skunk cabbage and other things. The daffodils, of course, several weeks ago. Tulips, within the past week, there are tulips blooming everywhere now. They're gorgeous. They don't last very long, though. Very short-lived. But it's just in the past couple of days that I've seen trees burst forth. Now, I'm not talking about flowering trees. They've been around for a week or so, and they're pretty gorgeous this year, too, by the way. Red buds, especially. Red buds trees are magnificent. Magnolia, not so much. I think most of those got nipped by that incredible heat wave in late February and then the frost. But I'm talking about trees that are, you know, maples, elms, and so on, coming out in leaf, just almost popping before your eyes the last couple of days. It's gorgeous. It's gorgeous. I never tire of it every year. Let's go to the phones. It's open talk. Here's the number, 283-2525. 283-2525. Caller, this is Dave Malarkey. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
You said he was already seated.
I'm sorry? Oh, yes, on a plane?
Why did they jerk him off?
Well, why they picked him, I'm not sure. I don't know what process United does for that, whether it's the...
So who was they going to put in that seat instead?
It was somebody who was flying some United personnel. As I understand it, it was airline crew members who had to get to this other city in order to fly another plane, which they routinely shift cabin personnel from city to city to, you know, staff another plane. As I understand it, that's who it was, but I don't know. What do you think? You saw the video, I'm sure, didn't you, on TV?
No, I don't have TV.
Oh. Did you see? You didn't see the video then?
No.
Oh. Well, they roughed this guy up pretty good when they pulled him back, because he wasn't going to give up. He was hanging on. They were pulling him out of his seat, and they dragged him up the aisle. I mean, he didn't walk. They dragged him up the aisle.
Why didn't they just ask if anyone would give up a seat?
In retrospect, that seems to be a pretty easy question, right? is there anybody around here who will give up their seat for $500? I bet they would have had 20 takers in an instant.
Yeah. But why there had to be something, some reason why they picked this one guy.
That's very interesting. You know, I haven't thought about that angle. And I wonder if this, in fact, goes to trial, if he goes ahead and sues United, I wonder if that will come out, if there's something else that tipped them off. I have no idea, but that's an interesting question that you pose, my friend. Very interesting. Alrighty, hey, thanks for the call. Good to talk with you.
Yep.
Bye-bye. 283. It's an interesting question. Why did they pick him? I don't know. I never saw that in any of the news reports. Why was he singled out? He wasn't even sitting on an aisle. He was like next to a window or something. I don't know. Great question. 283-2525. Hi, caller. This is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Hi, Dave.
Hi.
They picked those four people at random out of a hat. I guess they just threw a bunch of names in it. I mean, a bunch of seat numbers in them.
Huh.
And picked them out. And the other three guys gave up their seats, but he wouldn't.
Hmm. Well, that's interesting, too, because I always thought that I don't fly that much. Do you fly a lot?
About once or twice a year, max.
Yeah, certainly that's max for me, too. But I always try, first of all, I had an experience many, many years ago where, believe it or not, I had a flat tire on the way to the airport. So that, like, traumatized me, you know. I go early. I want to be there early. And I also got into the habit of being early at the boarding gate, you know, so that whenever they announce that we're now boarding and, you know, it comes time to board the regular class passengers after the first class and everything is boarding, that I'm kind of near the front because I always thought that it was the last on were the first that got booted.
No, they picked them out of a hat, I guess.
Oh, well, that's a scary possibility.
Yeah.
You know.
All right, Dave.
Blind luck. Thank you, my friend. Thanks. Pick them out of a hat. Well, as that other caller said, by the way, 283-2525, 283-2525. As the other caller said, why didn't they just try somebody else or offer more money, a lot more money? I guess some airlines now are planning to offer huge amounts of money if they can't get people to get a free ticket on a later flight. Hi, caller. This is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Hi. When they're choosing people to eliminate,
mm-hmm.
they eliminate certain people and then just randomly select from what's left. But normally what they do is choose people who are flying alone. And I believe he was flying with his wife, so it seems rather strange that he was chosen.
I didn't know any of those details.
There are certain requirements that they don't bump people. One of them would be if they had a connecting flight,
mm-hmm.
And especially if it were an overseas flight that they were connecting to. But the thing that I can't understand is how they can bump you if you have a non-refundable ticket and you don't get to the airport. They don't refund your money.
That's true, yeah.
So why could they bump you with a non-refundable ticket?
Well, that's what they count on. That's where this whole concept of overbooking comes from. They know mm-hmm. that there's going to be X number of people, you know, two or three, let's say, who are not going to make it for every flight for one reason or another. You know, they got sick, they had a wreck on the way to the airport, they overslept mm-hmm. or something. They're just not going to show. And when they get close to departure time, they close the gate and seal up the plane, and that's it. You know, if you didn't make it, you didn't make it. So they hate to fly with empty seats. That's where this whole concept came from. But my point
right,
is...
Right, I can understand that. They don't want to fly with empty seats, but those seats are paid for.
Yep, I agree. I agree with absolutely. And if it's if they're empty, I think it should be just part of the cost of doing business. Any business has certain losses that they've got to accept. One way or another.
But it isn't a loss if they have a non-refundable ticket.
Yeah,
that's not a loss.
Yeah, they don't give them
a... already paid. That seat is paid for,
mm-hmm.
Whether somebody sits in it or not.
I can see what you're saying there. And if it's a, if it's company personnel, like a cabin crew flying there, they're not paying anyway. But you're right.
That's right.
You're right. Why don't they ditch this whole system then? It's stupid.
It really is.
It's unfair. Yeah. I'm slowly being convinced that this poor guy was right. Have you ever been bumped? Do you fly very much?
I have never been bumped, but I have been moved up.
You mean like to first class or something like that?
Yes.
Really? Wow.
Uh-huh.
I never did that. Yeah. That must be pretty nice up there, huh?
It is, but when when that happens, you don't get the wine or whatever the goodies they're serving. You get regular things.
You get leg room, and that's it, huh?
Yeah.
I have never flown first class, to be honest with you. I've never, for the incredible amount extra that it costs, I've never had, you know, I'd rather save that money to spend when I'm on my vacation, when I get there, you know, as opposed
right.
to spending it on a plane ticket. So I've never been bumped up. For one reason, I don't get a lot of credit card rewards and some of those, you know, ways that you can earn
uh-huh.
earn a bump up. I've never done that.
I am not a member of any of the airlines.
Mm-hmm. All right, my friend. Appreciate the call. Thanks very much.
Mm-hmm.
Good to talk with you today. I saw someone being asked once when I was on a plane. I saw someone being asked to, at least I assume that's what it was. I wasn't, you know, like two rows away. I was maybe 10 or 12 rows away. But I think that's what was happening. And there was no confrontation about anything like that. The flight attendants, a couple of them came back and they talked to this guy and, you know, mumble, mumble, and he stood up and took his bag out of the overhead compartment and left, and some other person came on and took the seat. So I assume that that's what happened. I can't say for sure. Has never happened to me. Thank goodness. I mean, that would be an incredible disruption. Most of us, when we're flying, either on business or for pleasure, we have limited time, right? On vacation, you have X number of days. I have, on several occasions, not been bumped off a flight, but I have had flights canceled. And believe me, that is a major disruption. It just throws you totally out of whack. Well, I can't say it's the worst time because I've had a couple of pretty bad experiences there. But on one occasion, I never made it out of Pittsburgh. And that was really frustrating. This was maybe 10 years ago. And I was going to be away for some time, so I had made arrangements with a friend, a family member, to drive me to the airport. And she dropped me off, and she left, and I'm waiting for the plane. I go out to the gate. There's no plane there. And I waited and waited, and finally they made an announcement that the plane that was supposed to take me to Boston was still in Detroit. It was an absolutely gorgeous evening in Pittsburgh. I mean, just like today. But there were thunderstorms in Detroit, and the plane couldn't take off. And that ended up never came. And I had to go get a hotel near the Pittsburgh International Airport and try to get out the next morning again. Just starting my vacation. Couldn't have been more frustrating. Hi, caller. This is Dave. Sorry to keep you waiting. Please go right ahead. It's your turn.
Hey, good afternoon, Dave.
Hi.
Hey, I say hooray for the airlines. They stuck to their guns. He was picked out of a hat. And being a doctor, I thought he looked pretty pathetic. I wouldn't want him for a doctor, being drug, Limp Bizkit out of the airline like that. That was just, that's ridiculous.
He had a questionable past, too, as a physician. I mean, he didn't have a clean bill of health as a doctor.
No. I mean, I don't fly very often, but if I flew, I'd pick United any day. They stuck to their guns. When you buy an airline ticket, you enter into a contract. And, you know, who reads the fine print on anything? And I'm sure there's a lengthy, protocol that they went through it. You know, whether they offered the money they were supposed to, I'm sure they're going to start low. And if that guy was so important, why didn't his wife, you know, give up her seat?
Well, there's another good point.
he looked so unprofessional. I mean, if that was my doctor, hopefully he loses all his patients, and hopefully he's put on a no-fly zone or no-fly list where no airline will ever carry him again. He's going to see how driving's going to be. I wonder how long that flight was supposed to be for him.
Wow, it was only from Chicago to Louisville. I mean, that's probably, what, 40,
Kentucky, yeah.
45 minutes maybe, if that. It can't be very long.
Yeah. I say the airlines, like you say, before cell phones, this would all gotten brushed under the table. You never really would have heard about it, but everybody with their cell phones, you got video of it, and I say he looks pretty pathetic.
Well, boy, your point about, I guess I didn't think this through very well. Your point about his, I didn't know that his wife was with him, but yeah, if it was so crucial that he had to see patients the next morning, why didn't his wife give up the seat for whatever they were offering, a free ticket or whatever? And it's a good point, my friend.
Oh, yeah, hands up to the airline that they didn't, you're a doctor, we'll pick this guy. You know, they stood their ground. You know, they were trying to be professional about it. And this guy just, it was basically a dead body they had to get off the flight.
That's true.
And they stuck to their guns, got him off. You know, now if that was a terrorist or something, they'd be, be held, just to praise. Oh, thank God they did this and that. But now, I hope they, fly above this and keep flying. And, if you choose to fly, that's the stuff you're going to have to go through if you get on a plane.
Appreciate the call, my friend. Thanks for taking the time to call. Enjoyed talking with you.
Thank you, Dave.
Thanks. 283-2525 is our number. Open talk, 283-2525. Hi there. This is Dave Malarkey. Go right ahead. It's your turn. Hi.
I object to what he just said. That sounds like he's profiling. That man was Oriental. He's a minority, possibly. Who knows if he had a bad night the night before? I mean, just to look at someone, I think that's very discriminatory.
You mean he might not have had enough sleep or something the night before?
Yeah,
and that's why
you don't know what he went through before he got there, where he was, what he was going through. Was he stressed out from something else? I mean, I don't care what he looks like. I mean, he could have been a bag lady for that matter. But to just look at somebody and say that guy looks bad, he has to get off.
I have to be honest with you. I never saw the only video that I saw was the guy being dragged out of his seat and then dragged up the aisle. And by that time, his glasses were off and looked like he had a bloody nose or something. But I never actually saw a picture of the guy, so I have no idea what he looks like.
He was Oriental.
He was. I think he's Vietnamese, but I could be wrong on that. He's Asian. He's of Asian ethnic background for sure.
Yes. And I'm sorry. That's discrimination. Mm-hmm. I mean, to even say that, I just.
did you ever? Do you fly very much at all yourself?
Every great once in a while, and not anymore. Mm-hmm. I just don't care for it anymore.
It's not the same as it was even 15, 20 years ago, is it?
No, not at all.
No.
And it used to be an enjoyable experience, and anymore I don't think it is. They crowd you together, your knees are under your chin.
It's just the whole process of getting there, too. I mean, all the security that you have to go through before you can even get even to the gate, all this stuff. I was in an airport, I was in an airport in Europe, and there were a lot of families waiting to get on this flight. And I saw countless mothers and fathers with two, three kids in strollers. Can you imagine everybody taking their shoes off, their belts off, their coats off, trying to put them in these plastic bins, you know, like recycling bins? And the kids are crying, and I just said a prayer for them. It had to be a horrible, horrible experience. And that's
fact,
just to get to the security. You're not even at the gate yet, you know?
Well, I know one time that we were headed up for where you know, sign in and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how these lines go up and down, how the...
Yes, they have those ribbon.
Them off.
Yeah,
well,
those ribbon things, yeah.
There was nobody in that line. And, okay, so we walked up and just kind of went straight in.
Mm-hmm.
And the man said to us, you have to go down there and come the whole way through.
You're kidding.
Nope.
Wow.
Nope.
And so you did that?
Well, of course we did. We thought he was a dumb, you know what.
And you ended up at the same place where you were?
Same place, went through, you know. I mean, I don't know what his day was there, but you had to do that.
That
there was no one in that line.
That is funny. That is funny.
Yeah, but I want to protest about what that man said. I just, number one, he was, you know darn well he was having a bad day that day,
mm-hmm.
but you don't know what his day was like the day before. And
that's true.
I cannot believe that, well, I guess I can believe I've seen the world today.
Of course, I'm not sure that I'd want to be one of those TSA agents or airline personnel either, because there are so many new rules now. In fact, the last time I flew, I was carrying a bottle of water with me. And, I mean, you do that all the time when you're on the road, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was just plain old water, you know, like whatever. Giant Eagle water or Deer Creek or I don't know what the heck I had, Dasani. But it was, you know, garden variety water. And I went through all the stuff at the when I was getting ready to go into security. You know, checked everything. Okay, I got my coat off, and I'm all ready to go. And I walked up, and the woman TSA agent said, "I'll have to take that water." And I said, "What? She said, you're not allowed to take water
mm-hmm.
on." And I didn't know it, or I didn't think about it. I was just carrying the water. Obviously, I wasn't trying to conceal anything. I had it in my hand, for goodness sakes, you know, taking a swig out of it. She said, "No, I have to take that water." So it was kind of embarrassing, but you know, I just threw it in. They had a big receptacle there where they were putting all the contraband. I felt a little silly throwing away a half a bottle of perfectly good water, but that's the rules these days, as you said. And you got to obey them. Sometimes they're silly, but you got to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for the call, my friend.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Good to talk with you. 283-2525 is the number. Yeah, flying today is no fun. It's no fun. Still, I don't know. It's still a thrill for me. I still enjoy it. I don't fly often enough that, you know, I become blasé about it. I still think it's a great treat. But I don't look forward to all of the rigmarole that you now have to go through to get to the airport and to get through security and to finally get to the boarding gate and then finally get on the plane and finally taxi out on the tarmac and finally you take off. It's a real mess compared to what it used to be. 283-2525 is the number. It's open talk today, 283-2525. Hi there, this is Dave. Thanks for the call. Go right ahead, it's your turn.
I just wanted to say I don't agree with those people that just talked to you.
Mm-hmm.
What I think they ought to do is whenever they get the plane loaded it in, the ones that come in last, they can say, no, there's no seats.
Mm-hmm. Now that way
you're not picking on anybody.
That makes sense to me, and that's actually until just today when I found out from an earlier caller that they pull names out of a hat. That's what I thought they did. That's why I always tried to be at the gate early, you know, so that I don't necessarily want to be the first one on, but I don't want to be the last one either, you know.
Well, but, I don't think you can judge that man by what we saw. I think it was a terrible accident myself.
That's true, and probably in retrospect, everybody could have behaved differently, maybe it wouldn't have escalated to that, huh?
Well, maybe if he was Oriental or something, maybe he doesn't understand all the rules and regulations, and he just fought his own way.
Well, yeah, but he
but
was...
I think it was terrible to harm him like that.
He was a practicing doctor in the U.S. I'm pretty sure he was capable of understanding English. But I like your idea, because I'm trying to think this through. Okay, so there were some United flight personnel who had to get to Louisville. Those were the ones that they were, you know, putting on the plane.
Mm-hmm. They should have accounted for them and not let anybody else
Exactly. They had to know there were, you know, what, who, maybe a co-pilot and a couple of flight attendants or whatever that had to get to Louisville another flight. So they would have known that. I mean, that wouldn't have been something they found out 2 minutes before the plane was going to take off.
No, that's right, and they wouldn't have ruined that man's life.
Yeah.
I don't care who he was or what he did or anything about him, but I don't think that's right.
Yeah, the last three, if they had three people that had, or four, whatever, had to get on, the last four people in line would say, gosh, I'm sorry, there's no more room.
You'll have to sit and wait for the next one.
Yeah, and we'll give you, you know, a free flight to anywhere and... $500 bonus or whatever they offer people to do that, but they wouldn't be on the plane yet, you know.
No, they wouldn't even be on, and then somebody else wouldn't have to be disappointed.
Yeah. I like your idea. Thanks.
I don't know who to write to, but it really upset me to think that a Christian person would drag somebody out and knock the man's teeth out and hard to tell what else is wrong with them, had a concussion.
Well, if I were you, I think I would write to the president of United Airlines. I think he could probably use a little cheering up.
Well, I don't know, but I would never fly the lines. I don't fly anyway. I'm old, so. But, I mean, my heart aches for that man.
Thank you for your call and sharing your thoughts. Thanks.
Bye. Thank you.
Sure. 283-2525 is the number, 283-2525. That's what we do here, share thoughts and opinions. Yeah. Hi, caller. This is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Hi, Dave. How you doing?
Pretty good. How are you today?
Good, good. I just want to say I enjoy your show here in the afternoon.
Appreciate that.
You know what they say on in Reader's Digest, on the lighter side?
Mm-hmm.
I know a person who was traveling from Las Vegas to Butler via Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And they had a sequin blouse on.
Mm-hmm.
And it took 20 or 30 minutes to examine each sequin.
No kidding. Wow.
Have a great day.
Thanks, my friend. Thanks. I think he was pulling my leg a little bit there, right? Although you never know. I actually had, and this was bizarre, and it was just, I mean, it's no big deal. I actually had a customs agent one time ask me, because I don't know whether I look suspicious. Do I look suspicious, Pat Parker? I look innocent as the driven snow, don't I? Well, I don't look suspicious. I was actually pulled out of a line going through customs. And most folks, you know, they say if you have nothing to declare, you can get in this line and you walk through. You don't run. That would kind of arouse suspicion, but you walk, and there's guys there, men and women, looking at you as you go by, and you go out through the door to claim your luggage. You know, I was going through the line, and you pulled me out, and there was a table there, and I had to lay out my carry-on bag. I hadn't picked up my other luggage yet. That was still out on the conveyor belt. Had to lay out the stuff that you take on with you, you know, what you're told to do for emergency use, just in case your luggage gets lost. What do you have? You have a toothbrush, maybe a change of clothes or a fresh pair of socks or something like that in your carry-on bag. Well, I had a package of Lance crackers, you know, those nip cheese, you know what I'm talking about? Those nip cheese crackers. It's like six crackers wrapped in a sleeve. And I pulled those out of my bag, and the guy says, open those. And I, you know, your thoughts are, is this guy nuts? You know, what is he talking about? It's a package of snack crackers, for goodness sakes. You better open those. So, what do you do? I open them up, and he said, snack crackers. I said, yeah, that's it. And what do you do with a package of already opened snack crackers? Yeah, I eat one and throw the rest away. But that happened. But those are the sorts of things that, I mean, you have to expect when you're traveling today. And, you know, when you look back on it, wouldn't you prefer that security be airtight as opposed to, guy looks okay, let him through? You know, being stopped by security or being checked extra carefully never bothers me. I just kind of, you know, okay, just so you're checking everybody else this way. Just so you're checking everybody else this way, too. And it's sad that we've come to that in our society, but that's what it is today. I'd rather it be that way than the other way around. 283-2525 is our number, 283-2525, air travel. Yeah. But, you know, for all of the inconvenience and for all of the hassles and the delays and the TSA agents and everything else, just think about what it was like. I mean, just go back to a couple hundred years, to the beginning of the United States. Whenever, I was thinking about this the other day, about the founding fathers. Whenever they were elected to the Senate or to Congress or president, for that matter, they traveled by horse and buggy, to get to Washington, D.C., when Benjamin Franklin was appointed ambassador to France, get on a sailing ship and cross the Atlantic Ocean. Hope you get there. Send us a letter when you do. Yeah, it's pretty amazing what you can do today. So whenever you're frustrated or harassed while you're flying, just think, not so bad after all. We'll take a break. Back with more of the Tuesday edition of It's Your Turn here on WISR. Open talk right now, by the way, 283-2525, 283-2525. We will be right back.
Flowers are blooming, and so are the great deals at Butler Armco Employees Credit Union. BAECU has some of the lowest rates you can find on home equity loans through May 31st. Take advantage of a 15-year fixed-rate home equity loan for just 3.54% APR. You heard that right, 3.54% fixed for 15 years. Other great rates and terms are also available, and we also cover the cost of the appraisal. It's never been easier to join, so call or visit BAECU.com today for complete details. Butler Armco Employees Credit Union is an equal opportunity lender.
For more than 130 years, the name Concordia has meant quality care. Today, Concordia Visiting Nurses has provided high-quality, skilled nursing and a variety of therapy services to people in and around our community. Concordia Visiting Nurses is here to foster your recovery right in your own home. If you're in need of home health care, choose Concordia Visiting Nurses. Call toll-free at 1-877-352-6200.
Welcome back, Tuesday edition of It's Your Turn. By the way, tomorrow we begin a series of programs over pretty much the next week, next several days. We will be sitting down for short chats with candidates running for Butler City Council and for mayor of the city of Butler. And we will have several of those candidates, let's see, three of them here tomorrow, on the Wednesday show. It's going to be a 15-minute sit-down, so it'll be fairly short, but that's enough time for people to, get their message across, tell us a little bit about themselves and what they see for the future of the city of Butler. We'll be chatting tomorrow schedule out here, because we have quite a few candidates to talk to. On tomorrow's program, we'll be talking to one of the candidates for mayor in the Republican primary, Michael Walter, who's currently a member of council, seeking the Republican nomination for mayor. We'll also talk tomorrow to Benjamin Smith, also a candidate in the Republican primary for for mayor. And also on tomorrow's program, we'll talk to James Kimple. James Kimple is a candidate in the Republican primary for council, Butler City Council, tomorrow. And we will have other candidates later this week, and we'll have other candidates beginning of next week as well, Monday and Tuesday of next week. So we'll talk to all of the candidates over the next several days who are running for either Butler City Council or mayor of the city of Butler. Phone number is 283-2525, 283-2525. We'll also have Pirate Baseball tomorrow, by the way, as the Pirates wrap up their series with the St. Louis Cardinals in St. Louis. Afternoon game tomorrow. We'll have that for you. And then the Pirates come home for what looks like a pretty big weekend. Yeah, New York Yankees come to town. Yeah. And, you know, love them or hate them, it's a big draw. It's a big draw. I personally hate them. I mean, it's not, you know, a deep-seated animus. I don't really care that much. But the Yankees, when I was a kid, you know, in your little league and pony league and, you know, whatever you progress through. I never played American Legion ball. But the Yankees were, they were winning everything. And they had recently won everything. They've won the World Series 27 times or something like that. You know, the Cubs, as much as you might dislike them, when they won it last year, it was the first time since 1908 or something like that. So it's pretty easy to have a dislike for the Yankees. And it's not just folks around here. Actually, unless you live in New York, that's a nationwide feeling that runs pretty widespread. There was even a Broadway musical written about that. Damn Yankees. That's right. That's exactly that's where it comes from. People that just did not like the Yankees. But nonetheless, it's a big draw. They're New York after all, right? Yeah. They got the New York swagger. They think they're hot stuff. Well, they'll be coming into Pittsburgh for three games with the Pirates over the weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Yeah, pretty big deal. Pirate baseball. Pirates lost a toughie last night. But, oh, wasn't that sweet to take three in a row from the Cubs over this past weekend. Meanwhile, tonight on WISR, program note for you, we have Penguin hockey. The Penguins have a chance to sweep the Columbus Blue Jackets. I don't know. I'm one of those people, especially in hockey, who doesn't like to count my chickens before they're hatched. Columbus is a pretty good team. You know, they battled the Penguins all year. All year, trying to catch the Washington Caps. Nobody ever did, but when you realize that the Columbus Blue Jackets are one of the newest teams in hockey, really not all that far away from being an expansion club, and to go tooth and nail with the Penguins all season long. It was just incredible. So they're a good team. They're a good team. And I, you know, I don't know whether the Penguins can sweep them. I still think the Penguins will win. But don't think it's automatic. I think there are three times in the history of the National Hockey League where teams have come back from an 0-3 deficit to win. And at least one of those times was against the Penguins. Right? Wasn't it the New York Islanders who did it like years and years ago? The Penguins were up 3-0 and they ended up losing the series. I think so. I hate to mention that. Don't want to jinx anything tonight. But don't consider it a lock just quite yet. Just quite yet. We'll have the game for you here on WISR. Mike Lang calling the action. I was thinking the other day, I don't know. How much longer is Mike Lang going to do Penguin hockey? You know, Mike's getting up there in years. He is. He's done Penguin hockey for as long as I can remember. I don't know whether he's done it since the beginning of the franchise. I don't think. That's 50 years. Not quite that long. No. But he's done it for a long, long time. It will be a sad day for me when Mike Lang no longer does it. Yeah. He is, to me, the best, the most interesting. They even use his catchphrases on the national ESPN broadcast. I don't know if you've ever heard any of those or not, but when they're doing highlights, they'll often use the Mike Lang audio because they're just fun to listen to, you know. Buy Sam a drink and get his dog one, too. Get into the fast lane, Grandma. The bingo game's about to start. What a character. What a character. Well, we're blessed to have him, and we're blessed to have him here on WISR. So he'll be calling all the action tonight, live play-by-play, along with the old 2-9er, Phil Bork, live from Columbus here on WISR. Airtime is 7 o'clock tonight, 7 for Penguin Hockey here on WISR. How long are they going to go? I don't know. I don't know. I was talking with some friends over the weekend, Easter dinner, and I said, I certainly hope the Penguins go a long ways in the playoffs, but to win 2 Stanley Cups in a row, nearly impossible. Nearly. It hardly ever happens. It's extremely rare. Extremely rare. You have to be good, number one. You have to be lucky. Maybe more so in hockey than anything else. In football, a little bit of luck. Baseball, just fair, just foul, a little bit of luck. But in hockey, deflections, they're impossible to predict. And those deflections sometimes result in a goal or a missed goal. And it's, you need a little bit of luck. Let's be honest. You got to be good, need a little bit of luck. And you have to stay healthy over a period of 2 months. No playoffs are as long as National Hockey League playoffs. Steelers have to win, what, three playoff games? Even if you're a wild card team, you win 3 and you're in the Super Bowl, right? Yeah, 3 games, you're in the Super Bowl. And hockey is 2 months. 2 months from the middle of April to the middle of June. Long time to stay healthy. So there's a lot of unforeseen factors. You can have very, very good teams who don't win the Stanley Cup. So my bottom line, I'm pretty confident that they'll get past Columbus. Maybe not tonight, but some point. And then will they face the Washington Caps? Who knows? The Caps are down in their series to Toronto right now. Down 2-1. Toronto beat them last night in overtime. Wasn't that precious, huh? But if it is the Caps, if it is the Caps that they meet in the next round, quite frankly, the Caps are due. The Caps are due to beat the Penguins. The Penguins have just tortured that team. They've just tortured them. Alex Ovechkin and their fans, they've just been tortured by the Penguins. Last year, Caps had the best record in all of hockey, all during the regular season. They were the best. Penguins beat them in the playoffs. They always beat them in the playoffs. So if it comes to that and the Penguins do lose in the second round of the Caps, so be it. Great season, great entertainment. You're not going to win them all. I guess I'm preparing myself just in case. I don't know. 283-2525. Don't forget, tomorrow we'll have political candidates with us. The first of our several days. I guess we're going to do three or four days where sometimes we'll just have one or two candidates. Tomorrow we happen to have 3. Candidates running for office in the city of Butler. The primary was coming up pretty quickly. It's a little less than a month away now, May 16th, Tuesday, May 16th, primary day. Tomorrow we'll chat with Michael Walter. He's a candidate in the Republican primary for mayor, seeking the Republican nomination to run for mayor in the fall. Michael will be with us 12:30 tomorrow. We'll also talk tomorrow with Benjamin Smith. He's also a candidate in the Republican primary for mayor tomorrow. And we'll also talk tomorrow with James Kempel, who is a candidate for city council, running for Republican nomination for Butler City Council. Tomorrow's program. Later in the week, we'll be speaking with other candidates. And then the beginning of next week, we'll have a couple of days set aside for candidate interviews as well. We'll talk to everybody. Before we run the course over the next several days, candidates in the city of Butler for either city council or mayor of the city of Butler. That'll be on tomorrow's program. We'll also have Pirate Baseball tomorrow. We'll be cutting our It's Your Turn program a little short so that we can head to St. Louis for the final game of the Pirate Series with the Cardinals on tomorrow's program. later in the week, David Cord stops in for a visit. David Cord, the director of VA Butler Healthcare, who's recently been to Washington for talks. I guess they called in all the leaders. Maybe that's since the new director was named. I don't know. We'll talk to Mr. Cord about that. He'll be here on Thursday, day after tomorrow. We'll also have folks from St. Barnabas with us on Thursday. They're coming up on their annual dinner and the awarding of the Hance Award, the Brother Hance Award, very prestigious award. They have a big speaker in for that. And this year, I believe it's Rudy Giuliani, former mayor of New York. We'll find out details on that. That's also on the Thursday program. So we have a lot of stuff coming up here the rest of this week. It's only Tuesday, after all. Stick around. We have a break for a couple of minutes here. When we come back, we're going to be talking with folks from Butler County Community College Pioneer Players, the thespian group at BC3. They're getting ready to raise the curtain on their play, their spring production. So we'll find out all about that coming up in just a few minutes. You're listening to It's Your Turn here on WISR. Stick around. We will be back.
Pennsylvania's child protection laws have changed to help us better protect our children. Pennsylvanians who work or volunteer with children may need to get their child abuse clearances. Many of you know who you are, yet there are many of you who don't. You may be a Little League coach. You may be a nonprofit employee mentoring youth. You may be a student teacher. If you're not sure, there's an easy way to find out. First, go to this website, keepkidssafe.pa.gov. Second, find out if you need clearances. Then, apply online. Getting clearances is easier and less expensive than ever. Pennsylvania means business when it comes to protecting our children, and obtaining clearances is one way to ensure their protection. We need to take this seriously. So do your part. Find out if you need your child abuse clearances at keepkidssafe.pa.gov.
Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, Tom Wolf, Governor. Paid for with Pennsylvania taxpayer dollars.
We are speaking with physical medicine and rehabilitation specialist Dr. Edward Reedy from Tri-Rivers Surgical. Dr. Reedy, when should someone with neck pain seek treatment?
In terms of patients who are experiencing neck pain, they should see their doctor if they're over 50 and the symptoms last greater than 1 month, or if there's any new onset of pain in the arms associated with the neck pain. These would indicate perhaps more serious neurologic conditions that will probably require some testing. There's a variety of treatment options for chronic neck pain, starting with simple things such as physical therapy or anti-inflammatory medicines, and culminating occasionally with the need for injections or surgical intervention.
To learn more, call Tri-Rivers Surgical at their new office near the Clearview Mall in Butler, toll free 866-874-7483. That number again is 866-874-7483.
There are two distinct periods in music history, the big band era and doo-wop. Put them together and you've got yourself one swinging night of entertainment. The 16-piece Pittsburgh doo-wop big band with vocal accompaniment will feature tunes from the 50s, 60s, and 70s. Doors open at 6, showtime 7:30. Saturday, May 20th on the stage of Butler Intermediate School. Tickets are only $20 and can be picked up at Mays Music Store, Natilly's North, or Tanglewood. Online, PennTheaterButler.com. Proceeds benefit Penn Theater Performance Company.
Welcome back, folks. Nice to have you with us on the It's Your Turn program on this glorious Tuesday. A spectacular day, huh? Wow, really nice. Hey, we have lots of guests with us on the next segment of the program today. They're all here from the upcoming Pioneer Players production at Butler County Community College, their spring show. So let's just go around the table, first of all, and we'll introduce everyone, and then we'll talk about the show. First of all, with us is Gabby LaSella. Gabby, nice to have you here.
Nice to be here.
Yeah, good to see you. Also, Sydney Selfridge is here. I got that correctly, didn't I, Sydney?
Of course you did.
Yeah, okay. I don't know about of course, but I did. And Alyssa Martin. Hi, Alyssa, how are you?
Good, how are you?
And Tyler Pollack as well. Tyler?
Nice to see you again,
Dave. You and I have chatted in the past.
We have chatted several times
about your previous theatrical efforts.
Yep.
Well, tell me, Gabby, first of all, what's the show? What are you doing?
We are doing a production of Barely Airs.
Barely Airs. Heirs as in?
As in heirs to a throne.
Oh, okay. Because I was thinking maybe A-I-R-S. No, it's H-E-I-R-S.
Right, right. Like heirs to a fortune.
Barely
in this case.
Heirs. Okay. And when does the show go up?
The show goes up April 27th, 28th, and 29th at 7:30.
That would be next weekend, correct?
Next weekend.
Yeah, yeah. Is that a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or what is it?
It is a Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Thank you. Suck Up Theater, of course, because
yes.
You're on campus at BC3. Are tickets available in advance, or do people just get them at the box office the night they're coming?
You can get them online at bc3.edu/suckup-theater,
mm-hmm.
or you can call 724-284-8505 for tickets. You can also get them at the door, $8 for students and $10 for adults.
Okay, good deal. We'll review that contact information as we go along here today, but just so folks know, it's the end of next week, Thursday,
yeah.
Friday, Saturday, end of next week. And are you a member of the cast?
I am.
Uh-huh. What part do you play, Gabby?
I play Claire. She is the best friend of Jane, who's played by Sydney.
Mm-hmm. Sydney Selfridge plays Jane.
I do.
Mm-hmm. So is Jane an heir, or is she barely?
definitely a little bit of both. I feel like she's kind of an heir that can't be bothered.
Okay. I just need you to get a little closer to that mic for me, Sydney, whenever you're chatting. That's good.
Yes.
Make sure people can hear you. So she is possibly an heir, but...
Barely. Mm-hmm. It's
barely.
Very apt.
Also a member of the cast, Tyler, you're in the cast, right, Tyler?
Correct,
what,
yep.
What part do you play?
Well, I play Tom, who also plays... three or four other characters throughout the show.
Oh.
So whenever certain people are around, he has to pretend to be someone else.
Mm-hmm.
So I play about three or four different people throughout the show, but my main character's name is Tom.
How would we categorize this show? Is it a comedy, farce, a mystery?
It's definitely a comedy.
Very much like a farcical comedy, but there's a little aspect of every type of comedy in the show.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of sarcasm. There's a lot of slapstick.
Is it set in the present time, or is it a period piece? Or?
It is contemporary modern, so
okay.
2017.
So because for some reason, I don't know why, I had this pictured in my mind. What's the play where there's Teddy Roosevelt and the two ants? What's the name of the Arsenic and Old Lace?
Right.
Now, why does this pop into my mind when you started to talk about this? I have no idea.
It's weird that you say that, because Teddy Roosevelt's actually brought up in this play.
Get out.
He is once.
Oh, my gosh. This is very spooky, Tyler. Very spooky. You all know that show that I'm talking about?
Yes, yes. It's a classic.
Yeah, and there's a film version of it and so on. So what about this? I'm not familiar with the show. Were any of you familiar with it, Sydney, before you were cast?
I had read through the script a little bit before I was cast.
Uh-huh.
This and a couple other ones. That was all I really had with it. But by maybe the 15th page, I was like, this is the one. It is hilarious. This is the one I want to be in for sure.
Pretty funny, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Mike Beck is directing the show. I assume you are, right, Mike? No? Mike Beck is here, but he's not next to
us. It's actually Larry Stock that's directing it. I took a backseat on this one from The Miracle Worker, so I was taking a little bit of a leave. So Larry took the wheel on this one, and he's directing it.
Well, you can understand why I thought it was you, because I remembered last year you directed Miracle Worker.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm just taking a backseat on this one. I'm just the... designer of the set. That's all I'm really doing this time. So it's kind of nice to...
Never say just the designer, for goodness sakes. Matter of fact, we have the technical director with us here today as well, and that's Alyssa Martin. Alyssa, how are you? Make sure you get close to that mic for me there.
Oh, I'm pretty good. How are you doing?
Just fine.
Good.
So did you build this set as technical director, TD?
I did not build the set. I have Mike Beck, which was the one that just... was speaking. He
mm-hmm.
He designed the set, and then we have current members of the club helping to make the set and build it.
Mm-hmm.
Currently.
So what are your responsibilities?
Basically, my responsibility is to make sure that all of the technical aspects of the show are getting done on time and getting done to the best of our ability, making sure that everybody's staying on task with what they're doing, and making sure that we put on the best show that we can.
Are you also stage managing?
I am.
Oh,
yes.
Well, that's very important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So quite the responsibility.
Stage manager becomes, I assume all of you have done theater before.
Mm-hmm.
Stage manager, for our listeners, becomes the boss. Once you get to opening night, obviously the director is the boss before then. The director's calling all the shots, who goes where, when, who says what. But once that curtain opens, it's the stage manager's show from there on in. You're calling the shots, right?
Yep, that is true.
And have you done stage managing before?
I have at my high school.
Ah, okay.
Yes, yeah, I did. For a few years, I did it back and
it's
forth.
It's a very, you have to remain very focused when you're stage managing.
Definitely, yeah.
And I don't know how complicated technically your show is, but many times a stage manager has to wear a headset the whole time and you're in communication with a bunch of other people.
Technically, it's a lot of stuff on stage, but it is definitely a hard show more for the cast with the lines, just with the nature of it being a comedy.
Mm-hmm.
There are some challenges technically, but it definitely falls on the cast. This is a show that definitely leans more towards being more difficult for the cast because the lines are broken up.
Mm-hmm.
But it's definitely a challenging show in itself.
Well, let's talk a bit more about this show, setting the stage here. Gabby or Sydney, whoever wants to take the ball here.
Right.
Can you give us a little bit of the plot outline? How do we start out here? Obviously, we're not going to reveal the denouement here, but
right.
set it up for us a little bit.
Let's tag team this, Sydney.
All right.
Okay, so this is the story of Jane, who's played by Sydney.
Yes, it is me. So I essentially am Jane, who is a woman who's found out that her uncle has died, and he has left her $1 million in his will.
Mm-hmm.
But he has given her a requirement in order to get this money, and she doesn't necessarily want to fill that requirement, does she, Gabby?
No, not at all.
Is this like you have to be married by age 21 or some strange thing like that?
You are hitting the nail on the head. That is, no, that, not necessarily, but she has to be married
for six months
in order to get her inheritance. Mm. So,
well, this would definitely be a modern play then, because
right.
Yes.
Centuries gone by, it would be have to be married. Now, stay married for 6 months. If you can get past that hurdle, then you got the bread, you know?
Right.
It is very much like a Lucy and Ethel type dynamic between my character, Jane, and Gabby's character, Claire. So it is kind of reminiscent of, you know, that classic sort of slapstick friendship that is so wonderful.
So a little bit more about Claire. You're just a friend of Jane?
I am Jane's best friend.
A confidant, so to speak?
The way the story falls, it seems like we've been best friends for years, and we're almost at like the sister level of best friends.
Mm-hmm.
And we just entrust everything with each other.
Oh,
so
yeah.
You're aware of this requirement that she has to
not initially.
Mm-hmm.
It is explained to her and she is quite surprised.
Mm-hmm. So where does Tom Tyler fit into all of this? Is he the proposed 6-month tryout groom or what?
Yeah, he's actually the real husband of Claire, but he agrees to Jane that he will pretend to be her husband for 6 months.
Uh-oh.
But he does
we've
it behind,
got complications now.
But he does it behind Claire's back. So actually what happens with Tom is when he first appears, he is running a little bit late, and after he had already shown up, Jane had convinced someone else to be her husband.
You are the devious one.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then Tom gets into a little bit of trouble, and then he has to pretend. Jane keeps lying, and Tom has to keep changing his identity based on who Jane tells other people that he is.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where the little bit of dressing the different gender comes in for me and stuff like that. So it's definitely different than what I'm used to, Dave.
And you're not the only one who's changing identities. I get thrown into all this mess by Jane, and I'm playing two or three other characters as well.
Yeah.
So.
My. Hard to remember who you are when you walk on stage.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Is it a large cast? Are there a lot of other cast members?
It's a cast of seven. There's seven characters. There's about, I would say, five lead characters that have a little more lines than others, and then two supporting lead characters who come in Act Two and kind of stay in there in Act Two.
Mm-hmm.
And that, like, one Officer Richard, he comes in Act Two. He's played by Sean Covington, and he's doing a phenomenal job with it. So other characters just to mention, William, who is actually the lawyer that is supposed to come and give the inheritance to Jane, he's played by Jacob Hetrick, who I was just informed this is his first show, and he's doing phenomenal, absolutely amazing.
He's probably one of our favorite people to work with.
Yes.
Now, at the college level, this is different than a high school production, a high school musical or high school play, because I'm assuming that at least some of you didn't know each other probably before you were in high school. You know, if it's a senior class play, you pretty much know everybody, right? Going in. But this is an opportunity to work with students who are maybe in a totally different major, maybe totally on a different part of campus for most of the time, right? So
Alyssa and I were both working with the Miracle Worker last semester. She was on the tech side, and I played Helen Keller.
Mm-hmm.
But Sydney and Tyler are new to Pioneer Players family. We're very glad to have them.
Is it more difficult at a two-year school to mount productions like this? Because your time on campus is limited, you know? It's not like a four-year school.
It's hard to get around scheduling things because everyone has classes at different times.
I've talked to BC3 students who are involved in athletics, and it's the same process, you know, even at the high school level, you know, when you're a freshman or a sophomore, you can kind of be in the minor leagues, so to speak, you know, the JV, and that applies to thespian activities as well, before you're called upon to, you know, do lead roles or a lead production capacity, such as you, Alyssa. But you have a limited time on the BC3 campus. You're only there for 2 years, huh?
Yeah, this is actually my second semester of college. This is my freshman year, so I'm very lucky to have the part that I have, but it's kind of a big undertaking because I kind of didn't really dip my toe in, as it were, as much as I did in high school.
And you do have finals coming up yet too. We'll take a break. Back to talk more with our guests. They're all members of the production in one way or another. Barely Airs. Coming up the end of next week, Thursday, Friday, Saturday of next week at Suckup Theater on the BC3 campus. Okay, take a break and back with more here on the program in just a moment. One of our sponsors today is Butler Motor Tours, a local company here in Butler. They're on South Monroe Street. They have been taking folks from this area to places far and wide for 76 years. In fact, this is their 77th year. Pretty amazing when you think about it. By the way, this is a very affordable and comfortable way to travel, whether you're getting out of town, sometimes just for a day trip or an evening trip. They have lots of trips down to Pittsburgh to see a concert or a show. You don't have to worry about parking, driving, staying awake when you're coming home, any of that sort of thing. But they take lots of other longer trips, too, a weekend, a week, or even two. They're going to New England several times this coming summer and fall. You can take advantages of riding trains and seeing lighthouses in the Poconos, Connecticut, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, Narragansett Bay, Cape Cod, Hyannis. Oh, boy, what a trip, huh? That's coming up in mid-June, so it's only a couple of months away. It's a five-day trip to New England. You can also go to New Hampshire for a trip that they call Mountaintop Memories and Moose Tracks Mania. There are lots of moose in New Hampshire, and some big mountains too, Mount Washington, the Presidential Range. They also have a trip to Cape Cod, and not only to Cape Cod, but to Martha's Vineyard off the coast of Cape Cod. Boy, that'd be nice. That's in September. And then in October, just as the leaves are becoming gorgeous in New England, and they are in those mountains, a trip to Connecticut, Vermont, Massachusetts, and New Hampshire to take trains across the mountains and see the fall foliage. Sound interesting? You bet. And that's just the New England trips. They're going lots of other places, too, this summer and fall. Lots of other places. Upper Peninsula of Michigan. They're taking show tours to all over. Eastern PA, Millennium Theater, train trips all over. Butler Motor Tours. Here's how to do it. To do some vacation planning and dreaming online, please, at butlerbus.com. All the trips are there, the dates, the itineraries, the cost. In fact, you can even book online if you want to. Butler Motor Tours online at butlerbus.com. Butlerbus.com. We'll be right back.
I know of a way to reduce the level of future stress in your life, and I know that it works. One of the most stressful times in our lives is immediately after the death of a loved one, because we have to make so many decisions. The funeral, which casket, which minister, priest, or rabbi, cremation, visitations, church service, or not. All these decisions. Thompson Miller Funeral Home in Butler suggests that you avoid all these last-minute decisions during that most emotional time by pre-planning. To make all of these decisions now, when you can think clearly and rationally, when you're not burdened by the immediate event. Talk it over soon, now, with Thompson Miller Funeral Home at the corner of East North and McCain Streets in downtown Butler. Call 724-287-3706, 287-3706, or www.thompson-miller.com. Pre-arrangement. It makes sense. Thompson Miller. Time-honored excellence.
We're talking with folks from the Pioneer Players production of Barely Airs, which is on stage at Suckup Theater on the BC3 campus at the end of next week. Three performances, Thursday, Friday, Saturday evening. Are there any other cast members or key production people that we should mention, Tyler, that we haven't talked about yet?
Yes. There's a guy playing Paul who actually ends up being I don't want to ruin it, but at one point, it's the ex-boyfriend of Jane, and he comes back and he tries to get Jane back, and his character's name is Paul. And he's played by Lucas Franklin, Lucas Franklin. He's playing Paul, and he's doing a phenomenal job as well. So, and then there's one character.
Yeah, there's Betty, who's played by Carly McDonald.
Mm-hmm.
She's my mom.
Well, that's a challenge, too, at your age when you're all young adults and someone has to play someone's parent.
Right.
Tough how to do that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, our makeup crew head, Cody Reed, has been doing an excellent job. She is a wonderful makeup artist, and she is absolutely amazing with age makeup, so I think she's got a good handle on it.
Mm-hmm. It makes the job a little bit easier.
Mm-hmm. It's a little easier for guys when you're trying to make guys look older, right? You've done this, Tyler. All you need is the white shoe polish,
that's
right?
That's all you need,
smear
Dave.
It through your hair with a toothbrush, and you're ready to go. A little harder with a woman, you know.
Yeah. It's not too difficult for us men.
Let's talk a little bit about you folks. You have all done theater then in the past in high school or college?
Yes.
Yes.
Gabby, what about you? Where'd you go to high school?
I went to Seneca Valley High School,
And
I'm currently studying theater at BC3.
Oh, is that I didn't realize that was a program offering at BC3.
Well, it's a concentration. I am a fine arts major, and I'm following a core of classes that are all revolving around theater.
Mm-hmm. Fine arts major.
Yes.
What's your career dream, Gabby?
My career dream is to work in regional theater.
Okay, so fine arts in theater, huh?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the dream.
That would be fun. Yeah. Well, that's a tough. It's a tough major to forge a career in, as you well know, I'm sure.
Absolutely. But if you have the skin for it, anyone can do it.
Okay, I like your attitude. That's good. Now, will a 2-year associate's degree do it for you, or will you have to pursue further education?
God willing, I'd probably like to get my master's in theater, fine arts, acting, somewhere in that neighborhood.
You have a lot of booking to do ahead of you. You know that? Master's. good luck to you.
Thank you.
A lot of shows at Seneca?
I was only there for a year. I started off at Quigley Catholic High School, And then I transferred to Seneca for my senior year.
It's in Beaver County, isn't it?
Quigley? Yes, it's in Beaver County.
Yeah. So you didn't have the opportunity to do too many shows at Seneca?
Not really. I did a couple musicals. I did some plays here and there. But I really started taking on bigger roles when I came to BC3, like during The Miracle Worker. That's probably my favorite show that I've ever done.
Well, and that was last year, right?
Yes.
And you carried a major role there.
Yes, I played Helen Keller.
Now, speaking of challenges, we were just talking about how difficult it is to make people your age look older. You were playing Helen Keller.
Yes, I was playing.
And the Miracle Worker, she's like, I don't know, seven?
Mm-hmm. I was playing her as a seven-year-old. So I didn't really have to do much. The costume was like very high neck, and the skirt covered my knees, and I had little like pantaloons. So I looked the part, and everyone told me that I looked like I was 7 years old, and it helps that I'm short, so.
I was going to say, did they have a tall Anne Bancroft, what is it, Annie Sullivan? Is that the?
Yes.
Annie Sullivan, right? Yeah.
She was only a couple inches taller than me, but
that's
it
enough.
Seemed to work out.
A little bit, yeah.
I was on my knees for most of the show, so.
Throwing food and stuff like
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah, spitting food at her.
Well, that would have been a marvelous experience. That's a great show.
It is.
Great show. I didn't get a chance to see your production, but it's a great show. Let's talk a little bit with Sydney. Where'd you go to high school, Sydney?
I went to Nog High School out in Saxonburg.
Mm-hmm. Long tradition of good theater for students at Nog, going way back.
Oh, absolutely. Our theater director, Jen Bronder, does a wonderful job, and I had the pleasure of doing a play with her, and I loved it.
Mm-hmm. Did you do any musicals at Nog?
I did not. Actually, I am an actor who can't sing, so no musicals for me.
Can you dance?
I can carry my own dancing.
Mm-hmm. See, I like if people are doing musicals that they're doing the singing, and you know they don't do that a lot in Hollywood. In so many of the big Hollywood musicals, I don't like musicals in the movies because they're all faked.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know? Audrey Hepburn didn't sing in My Fair Lady.
She didn't?
No.
Oh, man.
And she was lip-syncing. Yeah.
I think she recorded it, but she was dubbed over.
Yeah, gotcha. Disappointing to learn that, you know. And then when you know that and you're watching the movie the next time, you go, oh, yeah.
That's why live theater is so much more magical, I think.
I'm into that. You and I are in the same boat. Yeah, same boat. Now, what about Alyssa? You're doing a production role here as stage manager and so on. Have you ever done work on stage, Alyssa?
Yes, through Armstrong Community Theater. I have done two plays. One was a play, one was more like a mystery dinner theater.
Mm-hmm.
Through them.
Where's Armstrong Community Theater?
Located in Armstrong County, out in Worthington, Pennsylvania.
They did this show once, didn't they?
Yes, a few years ago.
Barely airs?
Yeah.
One of those things that just came to me.
Yeah,
it's not true. Actually, it's not true. I looked it up because I wasn't familiar with the show. And no, when I Googled Barely Airs, that's what popped up.
Yeah.
Armstrong Community Theater. And I said, what? I wasn't even aware of it before.
Yeah.
So I was cheating a little bit on you there.
Yeah, they did a few years ago. I helped with the technical side of that aspect when they did it. Mm-hmm. Actually, I did the doorbell. I was the doorbell woman. but it was a very interesting show. I fell in love with it, you know, watching it and watching that and doing the little ding-dongs between.
Where'd you go to high school?
The show. I went to Katanning High School.
Which no longer exists.
No longer exists.
Huh?
No.
Yeah.
Nope. They got rid of it, which is sad.
And I don't know how you categorize yourself when you're at BC3, by semester or by year, first year, second year? What?
I'm technically still in my first year.
Okay.
I've been part-time for a while, just for like some medical reasons.
That's one of the great things about community college.
Yes.
You know, you can go at your own speed.
Absolutely.
I was talking with Dr. Newpower last month, and there are so many programs now where you can speed up if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
You take one of these concentrated, you take a whole semester in 10 weeks if you want, your schedule demands it or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's why Butler County Community College is such a great place to start. You can adjust your schedule like you can't at a lot of other places. Tyler Pollock has done a lot of high school work because I've talked to him a number of times.
Yeah.
Doing high school plays. Where, Tyler?
Carn City High School with Mrs. Ackleson.
You did, I think, about every musical while you were there, didn't you?
Yeah, just about. My last 2 years I became... My junior year there, I got cast as the wedding singer in the musical The Wedding Singer, which is based off the Adam Sandler movie. And then my senior year, I played Shrek in the musical Shrek. The years before that, we did Oklahoma. I was in that, played a small supporting role in that. So Mrs. Ackleson's actually the reason that I pretty much got into it, because she became like second family to me, and she really helped me out along the way. So ever since I graduated high school, I just kept it going. So.
Oh, is this your first year at BC3?
Second year at BC3. It looks like I'm going to be there fifth semester because of a couple of issues. I changed majors, and now I'm going to try to slow down a little bit, and I'm a communications major now. So.
Oh, it's just like we were talking with Alicia here. You can do that.
Yep, absolutely.
DC3.
Yep.
Summer terms, short terms, concentrated terms.
Absolutely.
It's not like the old model of college, that's for sure.
No.
Mm-hmm. Nope. What's your career dream? I phrase this purposely that way because people change majors. Everything changes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you don't really know. But right now, all-time career dream would be what, Tyler?
I would love to be a broadcaster. Maybe something in sports. Sports broadcasting is something I've always really, really wanted to do. If anything other than that, I would say probably writing for a sports page or something like that, I would think would be just phenomenal.
You and Gabby have both chosen things that are tough to make a career.
Right, yeah, and I'm aware of that too, but I really enjoy writing, and I think anything along those lines would be good for me.
Nothing worse than hating your job. I can't imagine joining a job every day that you hated.
Yeah.
And, you know, I didn't ask either Sydney or Alyssa, and I don't know. Do you have career plans yet, Sydney?
I do. I'm actually also in communications, so I'm thinking definitely something along the lines of writing, journalism. Mm-hmm. I love to write.
A much easier area in that major is writing for either public relations or advertising.
Right. Yep. Which is, marketing, social media management is huge.
If anything, even more skill required for that.
Yeah.
And what about you, Alyssa?
Transferring for music education.
Oh, really?
Is my plan.
Well,
yeah.
How about that? That's wonderful. So you'd like to teach music sometime, huh?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Are you a singer or a player or a piano player?
Player. I play percussion is my main instrument. Self-teaching on piano very slowly, but I'm getting there.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, we need to take a final break here, and I want to go back and recap the particulars of your show. And tickets and so on and so forth. So let's check lottery numbers. We'll be back and wrap up here in just a couple of minutes. You're listening to It's Your Turn on WISR. We'll be right back.
Midday lottery numbers for you today. The pick 2 is 2020. The pick 3 is 792. The pick 4, 4472. The pick 5, 87688. The wild ball is 0. The Treasure Hunt, 7, 13, 14, 15, and 25. Estimated jackpot for tomorrow's Treasure Hunt is $30,000. Lottery numbers brought to you by New Haven Court at Clearview.
Moving from my home of 50 years was a little scary, but I wasn't safe at home anymore, and my daughter with her busy life, children and grandchildren, it wasn't fair for me to expect so much from her.
We looked together to find a new home and discovered New Haven Court at Clearview.
What made the difference were the employees and the residents we met. The residents said it was a great place to live.
New Haven Court at Clearview, a great place to live because it's a great place to work. 888-261-5753 or visit IntegraCare.com.
Welcome back, folks. It's been a delight to talk with several members of the BC3 Pioneer Players production of Barely Airs, which opens. Gabby, I'll let you give us the details again, the end of next week, right?
Yes, it is Thursday, Friday, Saturday, April 27th through the 29th at 7:30 p.m. Tickets for adults are $10 and tickets for students are $8. You can buy tickets at the door, or you can go to www.bc3.edu/suckup-theater,
mm-hmm.
or you can call at 724-284-8505.
Does the show run with an intermission?
It does.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And Sydney, I don't know how it works at Butler County Community College. Is this kind of an extracurricular activity, a club activity, or you don't take this for credit or anything? Or I don't know, do you?
I am not getting credit for this. I don't think any of us are getting credit for this other than the joy of doing it. Technically, we have a theater club, although you don't necessarily have to be in the club to be in the show, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But you will kind of get sucked into the club if you're around. Not that that's a bad thing.
So they do a little arm twisting after you do a show or two, right? Hey, how about forking over the dues, you know? And
if anyone comes to the theater, they figure out that it's comfortable and we're all friendly, and they can't help but join in.
So all of your crew members, Alyssa, your lighting people, stagehands, people on the flies, I don't know what all you need for this show, they're all students?
Yes. Yes, they are all current students, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have a lot of different people helping with this show, obviously for all the different technical aspects of the show. It's not super technically demanding. I did kind of strategically plan it out so that I had the people that I needed, though. Mm-hmm. So.
No complex lighting cues or anything like that?
I wouldn't say complex lighting cues. I think the biggest technical aspects of the show that definitely were a challenge were definitely costumes. Just because, like, the cast members
different
with
characters.
Me have mentioned the characters are constantly changing. So a lot of the costumes are constantly also changing. So there's it's definitely...